Welcome back to Joystick and Mouse, video game news and reviews. I am Alex, I go by Cross in the gaming community. I am joined, as always, by Diddy.
Howdy, folks.
And Jay Dimes.
What's going on?
All right, we are here. We are coming at you not in the same room again because Arya has a sickness, and I didn't want to inflict these guys with such sickness.
Arya, but she keeps those germs to herself.
Yeah. That's right. We got to keep the germs to ourselves. And today we're going to be talking a bit about some of the really sad news coming out of Blizzard about the layoffs that happened there over the past week or so. And there's been a lot of chatter about it on the internet, so we're going to provide our interpretation of that. Sorry if you hear the jingling. I got Finn down here with me, one of my dogs.
Hi, Finn.
Yeah, hi, Finn. So what's been going on in your all's lives? Everything okay? Everything doing good? Yeah.
Yeah, everything was going well. Yeah. Playing lots of games. I actually had some time this last couple of weeks to play some video games, which has been nice.
Oh, good. Yeah, I actually have been, too. I've been playing a bit of Anthem, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, too, as our video game spotlight. And then I played a little bit more Kingdom Hearts 3, having a lot of fun with that. What are you playing these days, Jay Dimes? You doing anything fun?
You know, Willie and I are back into Gears 4, so we're going to play a little bit more of that when we get off the call. I think we're in the we're about midway through the game, so we're in the middle of chapter 3.
Oh, nice.
So I think there's 5 chapters to the game, so yeah.
Very good. Yeah, after we get off here, I'm probably going to hop on Kingdom Hearts or play some Anthem or something. I don't know yet. I got to figure it out. But it's been a long day over here, man, in the Albisu household. We having a sick baby. It's like all she wanted to do today was just snuggle. So we just laid on the couch and got to get up every 10 minutes and blow her nose because it's just seeping snot. And believe it or not, right now, I'm feeling a little snotty. So I hope nothing's kind of hitting me here. I got too much stuff going on, man.
Beck's been a little under the weather, too. She's been hacking and coughing and wheezing a little bit.
Yeah, so is Vanessa. So
it's all this.
There's something going around.
Well, you know what I think I chalk it up to is the change in weather here in the D.C. area where we hail from. For those folks listening at home, we've been dealing with 60 degree weather and then 10 degree weather and then 60 degree weather again, and now it's back to like raining and sleeting outside. And
Can it make up its freaking mind?
Yeah, jeez. I think Mother Nature's probably like spread the pollen. And nope, just kidding. And, you know, I think that a lot of it is actually allergies as well. So, because, I don't feel under the weather. Arya, I don't think, is under the weather because she doesn't have a fever or nothing. I think that she's just dealing with some allergies, which is something that happens when Mother Nature decides to go rogue on us. So, I don't know. We'll see. We're a little miserable, though. But we're gonna get through it. We're going to get through it for the sake of this show. We have an interesting topic to talk about today. It's a sad topic. It's around Blizzard firing 8%. Firing is a strong word. Let's use the politically correct term of laying off 8% of their workforce to prioritize the projects that are going to be really their focus kind of moving forward. They talked about really putting manpower towards projects like World of Warcraft or franchises like Warcraft, you know, just throwing that out there as a franchise in general, Overwatch. Basically everything except Heroes of the Storm is basically what they said. And this is really kind of salt in the wounds when you hear about this news. It sucks. 8% of people lost their jobs, but really, the sore spot is that they had a record-setting year in terms of revenue. So let's start with an article here from MMORPG.com. We posted this on Facebook.com/joystickandmouse. You're welcome to go check it out. This was a tough week for anyone who works for Blizzard or anyone who is a fan of the games. The Blizzard community has grown and fostered over many years now. I lost my place. Always heightened at BlizzCon, the The company was preaching unity, equality, and passion for their games worldwide. This message rung true to millions, and it showed. However, all that began to take a turn for the worse these past few months when the company had an unfortunate line of expansions underperform among their fans. Then BlizzCon happened, and we all thought the worst of it. That is, until the earnings call this week. Now Blizzard faces huge identity crisis among their community. And how do they solve that? So let's answer that question. Don, you are probably the biggest Blizzard fanboy of the three of us. What's your thoughts on this news?
I am exceptionally disappointed in Blizzard. Now, this smells and smacks of Activision. This has Activision written all over it. You don't get on an earnings call and say, we had the best quarter that we've ever had in the history of Blizzard, in the history of our company, and then lay off 8% of your workforce. Mm-hmm. If I understand that they were, that Call of Duty was not doing well, and that, you know, they were gearing down on HOTS because it's not performing well, but there are other ways to do this. You can either do it through attrition. You can do it through voluntary termination, you know, where you give people an incentive. You can have them go to other parts of the company. You can have them work on other games. You can have them do other things. This is not the way to run a business. This is not Blizzard.
Yes.
This is Activision at its finest.
Oh, totally. This is like total.
This is why people hate Activision.
Yeah. What I've been taken back by most is like the quality of the people that they've fired. Seeing really popular names in the community arena, you know, like the people who basically are community managers for some of their most popular games, they're letting go. All in the sake of, we weren't as profitable as we hoped, but we were more profitable than any previous year. And that set a sour taste in my mouth. I agree. J-Dimes, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
So I think it's a crappy situation. The only thing I'll say in what may be Blizzard Activision's defense is that while the previous quarter may have been really good, maybe they know something about the current quarter and what the profits are going to look like, you know, going forward, that is causing this. So I still think it's a crappy situation. I feel like they probably make enough money that they could eat, you know, a little less profit for a couple of quarters rather than lay some folks off. I wonder, you know, thinking forward, you know, how much this is going to dissuade people from, you know, coming into the gaming industry professionally. Like, you know, what type of good talent we won't see in the industry because, you know, we've had a lot of layoffs and studio closures over, you know, the last year that just might make some people say, you know, this isn't sustainable work.
That's a really interesting perspective. That is actually a very common topic that we've talked about, the attrition within the gaming industry. Now, this is a very volatile industry, so it's worth mentioning. People get fired, let go, and then they find another job, I mean, every day in this industry specifically. But really, it felt like this was the bastion of, you know, of hope, of safety for video game developers. People would be hired at Blizzard and want to be lifers. They wouldn't look to leave Blizzard ever. I saw plenty of tweets out there from Blizzard employees who were fired saying, I thought I was going to be at this company for the rest of my life, and I was just let go from my dream job. That is so heart-wrenching, and that sucks. And you touched on another really important point there, J-Dimes. It's because they've talked about why they let people let people go, and really it comes down to the fact that they aren't producing any new IPs this year. They have really like no big expansions coming out. Like, if I think about the biggest thing to happen this year for them, maybe it's Reign of Chaos, the, you know, the remake of Warcraft 3. Reforged. There you go. Sorry. Warcraft 3 Reforged. I think that's what it was called. So that's like the biggest thing to happen to them. And everything else has been kind of underperforming as far as what they were hoping for Battle for Azeroth to really produce and some of these other things. So they are thinking ahead, but you hit the nail on the head, really, in saying that, you know, this is a company that used to uphold a standard of we take care of our people and it's more of a family environment than it is a workplace. That's at least the days of Mike Morhaime. And, you know, when I started seeing
Didn't he just leave not too long ago?
He left. Well, he announced his departure as CEO a while ago, but he was on board until I think April of this year as sort of like a consultant role as this new guy, you know, kind of came in. And this new guy, his name is, why am I blanking? Kotick? Bobby Kotick?
Kotick is the new CEO.
Yeah, and you know, they gave the guy a $10 million signing bonus and a $15 million salary, like, and they let go 8%.
Which is fine. You know, I don't have a problem with Kotick's salary. He's the president and CEO of a couple billion dollar company. Sure. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is the way they went about this. There is no doubt in my mind that they couldn't have carried those people for another 6 months until they either found them new jobs or had an incentive package to let them go. Okay. I've been through this. You know, the company I work for went out of their way to find another job within the company.
Yes.
I don't see where Blizzard could not have done that.
Agreed.
And I think it was a huge slap in the face to the people that they just let go, that they went, turned right around, and hired more developers.
They hired
more people.
Thank you.
To work.
That kills me.
A huge slap in the face.
Well, and I just want to be clear about my comments around his salary. Like, I am a big believer that capitalism is great and it works, and we have, and it really makes an economy, or it drives, you know, people to work hard. And if they work hard, they are given the benefits of their work. I've seen that with my family being immigrants coming into this country from Cuba, and it has worked. And I'm a big believer in that. You should be paid for the type of work that you do, for the type of company you do. Certainly $15 million is a lot of money, but it's certainly not out of the scope of a role like that. What kills me is that I look at people like Mike Morhaime, who had, you know, like when they were in some bad shape back in the past, he went and like he found ways to still make it work where he didn't have to fire people. Like, that's a sort of leadership to me that stands out more, where, you know, here you are coming in with like a really big fat paycheck and expectations and stuff, and there's still a company culture that you have to adhere to, and you can't, you know, maybe I'm holding him up to too high of a standard. Like, Mike Morhaime was a class act, but it just feels slimy, corporate-y.
Oh,
stuff
absolutely.
when you're not taking care of people. I'm a big believer in, like, I look at, again, going back to the example of my family coming into this country, my grandfather turned out very well for him and his American dream coming over from Cuba, and he still found ways to help people and still reap his rewards.
I don't think it's any coincidence that it's happened a month and a half after Morhaime stepped away as consult.
So is he off now, or is he still on board until April? I don't remember what the
date
was.
I thought he was done.
He might be done.
Even though they say he's out, he's officially out till April, he's probably not there anymore and not helping. I don't think it's any coincidence.
You have any comments on this, J Dimes?
You know, I think Diddy mentioned earlier, you know, that it's smelled like Activision and less like Blizzard. And what I wonder is whether or not, you know, the sales of Black Ops 4 and maybe sales not being where they want them to be had an impact on on their financials. You know, I think I mentioned to Will the other day, we were in Costco and Black Ops 4 was on sale for like $29.99, which is like $30 off of list price. I can't ever remember seeing COD drop in price consistently this soon after release. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, normally when you see price drops like that, you know, you're trying to get people to buy the game. COD isn't normally a game where you got to talk people into buying it or make it, you know, cheaper to make it more attractive to the consumer. So, you know, I wonder if, you know, the money's just not good there. And that lack of financials is impacting it, you know.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, this wasn't all Blizzard. There were Activision people that were let go also.
Yeah, but so
what I understand, part of it was what's the one that they just lost?
Oh, Destiny.
Yes, part of it was the Destiny team.
Yeah.
Part of it was,
I think the 8% though is specifically Blizzard.
Was it specifically Blizzard?
Yeah, because I think they mentioned still, let me go back to the article.
I know part of it was HOTS.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's understandable, right? Like, but they talked about how they were shifting a lot of those people away from HOTS to work on other things.
And I do know that once they killed the tournament.
Yeah. For HOTS.
Once they killed LIG, that they were trying to move people and incentivize people to leave, and it wasn't happening fast enough. I get that you're a several billion-dollar a year company. You could have carried those people for another 6 months to try and, you know, help them through a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I get that companies have to do what they have to do for the sake of their stakeholder
or
their
business.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, but.
And you got shareholders. This is a publicly traded company, which puts it in a whole new arena from those, like, you know, private equity sort of situations where people have a lot more leeway. You're dealing with shareholders who just really care about, okay, did we profit? Great. No, we didn't hit our goal. Like, okay, then we need to address that. And even if they didn't make it by like a percent, I think they missed their goal by like a percent, even though it was a record year, they still miss it by like a percentage or so. Like, that's still a lot of money, and they didn't meet their shareholders' expectations. So they have to do what they have to do. It just really sucks that that's what it's come down to. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And, you know, any final thoughts on this, guys?
No, nope.
Nah, I hope those folks find jobs soon.
Yeah. And if you guys if anybody at home wants to write in on this topic or provide a perspective, email joystickandmouse@gmail.com. I want to actually read from last week. We talked about a taxation on violent video games. Well, specifically M-rated video games, but it is inspired by you know, some of the violence happening in video games. And we talked about how that money would go towards some kind of a public or some kind of a charity of some kind that would help people with violence issues, and we all kind of talked about how that kind of upset us. We had Mario write in, and he actually posted on our Facebook page. I'll read it here. He said, "I'm all right with a general tax of some kind, but it seems silly to target violent video games specifically, especially since that can be a pretty subjective concept all on its own." And that's kind of the gist of what we talked about. So I just wanted to say thanks to Mario for writing in. And in fact, Don, I believe it was you that published on Facebook.com/joystickandmouse, an Oxford study finds no link between video games and real-world teen violence. That was right. nice and timely.
It was very timely. I ran across that in one of my news feeds, and I was like, oh, look at that. Yeah. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, it was interesting. Anyway, we were going to jump into a video game spotlight. Here we go.
Yes, and the reviews were so mixed.
All right, so we're talking about Anthem today, folks, because I am able to play before you guys.
I hate you.
I know. It's fun, though, guys. I have to tell you.
I bought the good one, too.
You know what I got? I ended up chalking up $15 because I said, you know, I'm going to try this Anthem thing. I'm going with the platinum package for, what is it? Yeah, EA Origin, right? And you get access to all their games and stuff, so I could download Battlefield if I want to. And, you know, I said, if I'm going to play this game, it's probably going to be for like a couple months. And so I downloaded it, though, and now I think I might end up buying it because I kind of really like it. I don't know, man. So we talked about it before on this show when we've had when they had their open beta thing, and that was a lot of fun. It took me a little bit to get into it, but I have to say I am very into the story so far, and it's a BioWare game, and it feels like a BioWare sort of story. And I dig it. I dig the feel. I love the graphics. The matchmaking systems where I'm sitting there, you know, fighting alongside a bunch of other people. It's just real satisfying. I have to say that even after playing the open beta, which felt a little kind of wonky at times, like this feels a lot, like this just feels good. I really enjoy this game as a sort of whatever the style of game that Destiny and Division are. I dig it. My favorite thing about this game is the flying. It took a lot to get into like how to actually use the flight, but it works real well once you get the hang of it. I suggest anybody playing this game, turn your sensitivity down, like way down. That's made it possible for me to fly with like the mouse and keyboard there.
Yeah, I had to do that during the beta. I had to like turn my mouse way far down.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot, and especially when you're, you know, swinging around there with the guns and stuff. It's a lot, but I actually tried, I got my first suit. Okay. So after you do the prologue thing, they're like, okay, now you've got money to buy a new suit. And I went with the Interceptor, the fast play style. And he's a little squishy there, but I'll tell you what, I'm a frickin' ninja and I love it. I'm running around and slicing people up and throwing stars at people that blow up. And I jump up there with like, a shotgun, and I shotgun him in the face, and lots of damage. But Lord help me if I get hit, because it hurts a bit. So really love that play style. Next thing I'm probably going to get when I turn level 8 is that storm suit, which is the caster suit. So you're just kind of floating around and shooting people from a distance. So it's complete opposite from up-in-your-face combat. But yeah, man, really, really enjoying it. It's like you're in your own little Iron Man suit there, and the story's fun, and the lore is interesting, so definitely recommend it. I definitely recommend it.
How much is the monthly subscription?
$15.
It's not bad.
No, I mean, and you know, like I said, if I end up playing this for a few months, and then I just need to stop because something else comes out, or, you know, life gets a little crazy, and it works. It works from a cash flow perspective. Instead of me shelling out $60 up front, I get maybe over the life of the game or whatever. But you know what? It ends up probably paying for itself with all like the season passes and shit that come out. You know,
if you play them, yes,
yeah, totally. And for just the sheer amount of games that you get with this pass, like I got Battlefield.
I own them all, anyways.
Dragon Age, yeah, that's true. I know, but like I don't have any of the Battlefields. I don't. Like, the last Battlefield I played was, I don't even remember. Like,
I don't have the latest one. I have the one before that.
Battlefield 1?
Yeah. I don't have 2.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like, I would really recommend it. What are you guys looking forward to about this game? Because you guys both pre-ordered it, right?
No, yep. I didn't.
Oh, I thought you pre-ordered it.
Nah, Division. I pre-ordered
Division.
Oh,
that's true. You see, what? But you know this that might comes scratch out this that week, itch. Right?
Division comes out next month.
You got Anthem. Just... Anthem comes out this
week.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get yourself look, J-Dimes, get yourself that pass for $15. Cancel it so that after a month you go right into the Division. You could be Iron Man with me.
Maybe.
I'll be the War Machine to your Iron Man.
I also have to see if my machine will run that game reasonably.
Are you still dealing with PC issues?
Oh, no. I just don't know if the processor is up to snuff for the minimum requirements.
Yeah, I don't know what the minimum requirements are, actually. I mean, I run this thing on 4K, and it works fine. I actually lowered it to medium because I've been streaming it, which you can go to facebook.com/cross715. Follow that. I've been streaming that there, and it works fine. I lowered it down to medium just to be a little bit snappier. It still looks real pretty, man. It looks real pretty. It looks good.
Yeah, I've seen lots of good reviews so far. Everybody's liking it. It's funny. Everybody sort of complained about the beta, about how bad the beta was, and now the game is actually playable. Everybody loves it.
Actually, where a lot of people are throwing shade is that it's like, oh, Apex Legends, your own game killed this one. It's like, no, I mean, maybe people are spending more time on Apex, but like people are still going to play Anthem. Completely different games.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe what people mean more is that it's a slippery slope, because when you're looking for something to do and something to pour a certain amount of time in, you know, do you spend $60 and pour it into Anthem, or do you, you know, spend nothing and pour it into Apex? You know, like for the people that are just like looking for whatever the new hot thing is and, you know, not infinite amount of time to play, you know, you might be losing some customers because you've given them two options very close together and one of them is free.
Well, you know what? I don't think they thought Apex Legends was going to be that big. I thought they were going to drop it.
That's probably
be a
true.
Fun little thing that people would jump into for a little bit. But I think that blew up much more than they thought that was going to.
I think all of these games that, and I think we'll see this as a ongoing trend, that all of these new games, part of their success is going to be their ability to peel people off of the battle royale culture to play, you know, a campaign. You know, even if it's a campaign where you've got, you know, other live combatants in it. I mean, people like that. You know, you can jump into a battle royale game, play against other people, and the game can be, your game could be 5 minutes, it could be 25 minutes, but it's something that you can do quick, and then you can walk away. And I think these new games are going to have to convince people like, hey, take a longer experience and spend money to do it. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be tough. I think Division is going to have probably a hard time peeling people. And I'm going to be really interested to see how many people stay in the first one, like how long they leave those servers up, because you can play the Division 1 for free in a lot of different, like I think Ubisoft offers it for free on their on PC on their platform. Like it's free to play at some points. It was in Game Pass not too long ago. So, you know, do people want to pay, or do people just, you know, keep going to the free to play? I don't know.
So Far Cry, isn't that a Ubisoft game?
It is.
It's on Origin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I always thought that they were like real exclusive with their games and they didn't allow like other publishers to put their stuff on the EA thing, but here it is. I don't have access to play it. I can buy it. Cause I was thinking, oh man, maybe I get access to it as a Premier member, this new Far Cry New Dawn thing. Yeah.
But I don't know that Uplay has a store. You know, you can buy things.
And they have a launcher.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I mean, maybe it's one of those things where you hedge your bets and say, hey,
because
we've got this launcher, but everybody's not going to download our launcher. So
for me, Far Cry is not on the Origin launcher.
Oh, interesting.
It's on my Ubisoft launcher.
Yeah, I don't know.
Uplay, I think it's called.
Selected something that allows them to talk to each other.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Either way, though, this is. I think that at the end of the day, Anthem is going to speak to a specific audience that wants a specific thing. And Apex Legends is going to do the same for a different group of people, because Apex Legends does a fantastic, the best job at a battle royale game that I've ever played. And I think that that's going to speak certainly to a much bigger audience, because I'm not really a battle royale guy, But so that will certainly bring certain people in. But then people, I think, like, if I think about where my state of mind is right now, I really enjoy good, like, solid single player experience. So, like, I'm embracing my time in Anthem. I think it's going to be fun, and I really highly recommend people check it out. I've been having just an honest, good time. I'm not too far into it. I'm like level 7 or something. But the missions have just been fun. It's been like the combat is super slick and easy to get into. The matchmaking's been painless. So yeah, go check it out.
Hey, so is the Anthem campaign, is it solo? Is it just you, or do you have other people pop up in your campaign?
Yeah, other people pop up. So you're kind of your own person, like in the bigger world. But then when you launch on a mission and you hit the outside world, you encounter other people. So it's similar to what you experience in Destiny and The Division, where, yeah, like you might see everybody like in like the central hub area. Like you don't see everybody right up front in the central hub area. Like you have to get into the story a little bit, and then there's this separate area where like you can see more people kind of running around. I don't want to say too much because it's story, but anyway, so you end up there and you could see people, you can group up with people, you can add people to your friends list, etc. Yeah, so it's totally a social game, but you can, I don't know if you can actually go out on a mission by yourself, though. Like, that's one thing that I haven't tried. But frankly, it's been fun having a bunch of other people kind of rolling with you. Everybody's playing their role pretty well. So, like, the tanks are up there in the thick of it. The first mission I went on, I was in my interceptor suit, and then I had 3 tanks with me. So they were just kind of up there in the boss's faces, allowing me to kind of sneak around and pop up and start slicing and dicing. It was fun. So yeah, good times. Any other final thoughts on Anthem, guys? You guys excited for it?
Yep, I'm looking forward to it this week.
Tim, you gonna play it?
Yeah, I might check it out if it hits Redbox and just see what it's about.
Yeah, Redbox. Oh yeah. I guess, yeah, they play, you can play video games there now,
you can rent video games. Yeah,
that's cool.
So, you know, $3-4, I can give it a whirl, see what it's about.
Yeah, and if you're out there looking for people to play Anthem with and you want to play with me, you can hit us up, joystickandmouse@gmail.com. Happy to, I'm playing it on PC, just to be upfront. I mean, I guess I could get it on my other platforms because I'm a Premier member, but I don't know how that works. I like PC. I got my big-ass 43-inch 4K display. Thank you, Diddy.
Hold on. You just said something about being a Premier member. I want to hone in on that. So if you're a Premier member, they will let you download the game on other platforms?
I'm assuming. I think so.
Wow. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, why wouldn't they?
You got to lead with that, Alex. You got to lead with that.
I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, I'll try it, and I'll let you guys know. I'll let everybody know at home.
Yeah, because if you get access to the full EA library, I mean, I guess
on multiple platforms, that'd be pretty good.
I mean, you'd have to.
Well, I know you all are PlayStation guys, so I don't know if you all remember this, but they had that. They still have that service, EA All Access, that was only on the Xbox, and they didn't give you, I don't think you got early access to or free access to new games, but they had, like, it was sort of like Game Pass. They had a suite of EA games that you could play. So yeah, I wonder how that fits in if you can access games on more than one platform.
It looks like it doesn't do it. It's just on
PC?
Just on PC.
All right. Well, you got my hopes up there for a second.
Yeah. I don't think it does. I don't know. This is like a very quick Google search. I own a PC and Xbox. If you're talking to tech support. Okay, a second. 2 separate products. Yeah, so EA Access versus Origin Access. That's the difference. Just like kind of like what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Although EA Access does allow you to play, they have like a trial version of the game that you can play first.
Cool. Well, very good. So. All right. Well, that's a show, gentlemen. Clap it out. Yeah, thanks to everybody at home for joining us on this little adventure. If you'd like to write in and contribute to the show in any way, you can email joystickandmouse@gmail.com or comment on our Facebook posts like Mario did. I realize that we've had people commenting on our Facebook posts, and we should be calling them out here on the show. I think that's a nice way to honor our listeners. So with that in mind, Diddy, where can people reach you?
Diddy_AIE on the Twitters and DiddyAIE on Facebook.
And J-Dimes?
J-Dimes in all places.
And you can reach me at Alex Albisu in all places. That's A-L-B-I-S-U. You can follow my game streaming at facebook.com/cross715. We'll see you guys next time. Say goodbye, Diddy.
See you later, folks.
Say goodbye, J-Dimes.
Later.
If you like this show, check out more great content at incastmedianetwork.com.